You said old-time music, like what pieces were you telling me?
Sweet Bunch of Daisies, My Little Girl, Over the Waves, and music like that they played. And, well, Right Away, I didn't know what Right Away was, but they played that too.
What about, you mentioned masquerade parties?
Masquerade dances, yes, they had those every... Before Lent started in February, that had to be a masquerade thing. Best costume we got the first prize, which was $7.50 every in those days. My daddy always masked like a doctor, and he walked like Mr. Fritz Etter with the limp. And people would say, and he had a little bag, MD, hey, I believe that's Fritz Etter. It sure looks like. So I messed after Daddy didn't anymore get mellowed. I did put on the U many years ago, and I still have the long tail coat, the derby, and I got the little MD suitcase back there with MD on there, and I took second prize with it.
That's good. How they had these masquerade parties, you said, in February.
In February before Lent starts, the last dance. And Mr. Lehman, would you like to know how Mr. Lehman fixed that dance?
Yes,
that was a skating ring at that time, and it wasn't used for a dance hall anymore. So Mr. Lehman said, Jim is what he called me, never Sonny Manor or Jim. And I was going to school, he says, when you go to school Monday, Jim, you get all the kids you can get together and tell them we'll have free lemonade and free ice cream. Saturday, to be at the Warner's Garden at 9 o'clock Saturday morning, and he had some timber made out of 8x8s with like a push broom, a handle in it. Made real strong, and he had about 4 or 5 of those, and the kids could sit on there, and the others would pull them, and he put cornmeal that he ground down on that floor about 6 inches deep, and those kids worked that cornmeal on that floor all day long, and he'd feed them ice cream, hot dogs, and lemonade, and by evening he had it like glass. And that's how that all came back, and Mr. Lehman, and I was his hat jack in those days, and lost a hat for one of the balls, and so put in the wrong number.
Was that a tragedy?
That was.
Okay. So, which Mr. Lehman was
it? Ed Lehman, Florence, Howard Chair's wise day.
Okay, so, well, how long was it used as a skating rink?
Oh, I don't know. I was just a kid. My mama never let me skate. My wife skated down, and she's a little girl, and she fell in her elbow, and a knot came out on her elbow, and afraid to go home, covered it up with the sleeve. It went back down again anyway.
What year was that about?
It had to be 26, 25, 26, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Well, I don't think anybody mentioned that.
Yeah, it was a skating ring and run by who now? Jim Clemens, and who was the other guy from Honda? I know the man. I can still see him skating, an older man. Mm-hmm. And people like Mr. Henry Wamfley and Mr. Alice Grimsinger that lived there would go down and sit down for free and watch him skate.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said you were hat check. Was this for the skating?
No, for Mr. Lehman. Those days they had a hat check because everybody wore a hat and they checked their hat for a dime or the ladies' coat or the men's overcoat for 25 cents and you'd get a ticket and you'd hang it on that number. There was numbered 1, 2, 3 and you'd hang them in the back there. You remember that?
No. When was... What occasion did this happen?
At dances.
Okay. Okay. So they used it for two things then the time?
No, it was a skating rink, but they wasn't using it for a dance hall anymore.
Oh, I see.
And she had burned down several times.
Oh.
Mr. Adolf, Johnny Orr, he had it with, rebuilt it at one time and had dances before Jaggy and Hans had it without a roof on it, and it burned down after he had it a while.
Well, do you, I doubt, you don't remember it then being such a beautiful place with all the flowers and everything, or was it still like that when you
There were some of those devil's horns, or what do they call them, little horn things, like a trumpet?
Yeah, I know what
those were growing, and the well was there, I remember that, outside when we were kids and we would go down there and the Latin American people would have a tamale stand over there. They lived there, and they would sell tamales 20 cents a dozen.
Mm-hmm. And now what are they? Dollar?
Dollar and a quarter.
Dollar and a quarter a dozen. Were there still dances down at the... what's now or was the L.M. Tundry store, or had that already changed to a store?
I remember going to a dance with my mother and daddy there. Oh, I guess I was 4 or 5 years old, upstairs. And they had kind of a wire in front. No, was it? No, that was Miss Traeger. They didn't have just, they were at an offset where the people sit. But that's been a long, only one I remember that I went to a dance. Couldn't tell you who played.
Well, so then, Gene Arts, I know, played there. It was the Wernette Hall at that
Wernette time. Wernette Hall in that time.
And then, so he also played here, too, for many years. Wonder how many years he actually played.
Oh, I don't know. For dances. Because my daddy used to talk about his brother-in-law, a different name too, that used to play the harp with him. But I had never seen the man that played the harp with him out here.
Were there many horse races and rodeos around here at the time that you were a young man?
Horse races was up at Burroughs, Lloyd Burroughs, Bob Conbottom, they had horse races. But I was real young at that time. I don't remember much about that.
That's something that you didn't participate in.
No.
When in school and then later, did you ever play a part in a play or anything?
Many plays.
Right? Really?
Oh, yes. We always had a play after school year ended, And then after we were out of school, we had what we called the dramatic club. Miss Ruth Lawler was our teacher, or prompt, or whatever you call it. And there were, I have a program of one of the plays we had, Lucia Harbinger and Alberta Chin and all of those played in that play. I had some copies run off of the program. And Miss Ruth, I think, got $10 to teach us, which was worth $300 to teach that bunch. Herbert Holzhouse, Herbert Tondry, and Irma Mangold, all of those girls were there, and we had plays. Like, I'm trying to think of the name, the Hussars or something. We had some uniforms made with some low, high, furry caps with this feather on top and blue-red pants. It was a nice outfit, and I know my mama had to make one for me. But I forget the name of that play. But we had lots of plays. We made money for the church, I think it was.
And where were the plays held?
In the parish hall.
Okay. And how often did you do this?
Maybe once or twice a year at least we had a play.
So you had they had box suppers for money
raisers and plays. And then plays at the end of school, the school children, yes, for the school.
That was for the parents.
Uh-huh. And then we had a band too after I was out of school. And you know, I've been trying to think who was in the band. I played the drums. Oh. August Schott played the trumpet and Mr. Joe shot the slide, and I don't know who the others were. And all we knew was the Stein song, "Let's Go Through It Again," and that was all night long. I was telling Alfred Schott. But I learned to play the drums pretty good.
Where did you play for dances?
No, we just had a band. We never went any further. Then it just dissolved. It was over with. After a year, but every week we practiced the band.
And you were the drummer.
I was the drummer. I had my own set of drums, by the way, too.
Oh, what happened to them?
I don't know what happened to them.
Were you a baseball player?
No.
Were you interested in the baseball games that went on?
Yes, I was 90 league. We followed them. My wife and I followed them to Henny's wherever they played. We went every Sunday.
That was part of the recreation.
That's the only recreation besides watching the SMT truck line unload the freight on Saturday nights. That's the only thing you had. We didn't have a theater. Bingos, after we were married, the whole block got together once a week and had a bingo party. And a bar of Palomar soap was the first prize. Yeah, right. I'll never forget. That was our entertainment after we were married, because there was nothing else going on.
And you probably weren't economically or financially well enough off to go very far.
No, in those days, as somebody said, we went to the Majestic Theater Sunday afternoon to see the Broadway show. He said, "Well, my God, those rich people, we could just afford to go." And if you went out to eat, this Mother's Day was the only day that you took your wife out to eat in those days.
Did you ever, did they ever have bunco and card parties?
Yes, I'll never forget. I don't know how I got in. You had to have parents' consent to have the first one. St. Anne's had their first bunco party in the Kinney Park down here. Was Werner's Garden. Mm-hmm. And I got to go in to play. I was real young, and that was something big when they had bunco parties for the church. Mm-hmm. And what was it? High five.
Yes, that's right.
High five, right. High five and bunco.
I knew they played cards, but yes.
They went them in the parish hall later on. And mm-hmm. when bingo came along, well, that was it. Mm-hmm. That wiped out all of the other.
What was the purpose of the card parties and the
for the church benefit? Benefit. For the church.
Money raising.
Money raising. Yes.
Okay. St. Louis has been in existence for many, many years. When do you remember your first St. Louis day? Okay, how far back can you remember? Participate.
Well, when you went to school, I guess way back then, 1926, 27, 28, 29, you were doing something, a little something down there.
And they were always, as far back as you can remember, they were held here at what is now called
Pentecost. As far as I can remember, yes.
What day of the week were they held?
I was told the earlier years they were held whenever it fell on the 25th. Now, mm-hmm. later years was closer to the Sunday closest to the 25th.
So that's when you recall it.
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. What kind of food was served as far back as you can remember in St. Louis.
Barbecue was the main meal. That's all I can remember that they had. And sausage.
And the rest of the food that they served, well, how did they get that? Where did that come from? Your potato salad and everything?
As far as I know, the potato salad and the slaw, everybody brought it. At that time, you didn't go to the store and buy the slaw. You cut it yourself, you know.
The parishioners contributed that.
Right, right.
What about the meat? Was that contributed by the parishioners?
No, I don't think so. That was bought.
The church bought it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it was for money purposes that the St. Louis Day was held.
Right. It was for this church money raising funds or whatever you call it.
Okay. Were you a member of the St. Louis Society?
Yes, I'm still in.
Okay. Did you ever hold an office in St. Louis Society?
Yes, I was a dues collector.
Dues collector.
Mm-hmm.
And what part did the St. Louis Society play in the St. Louis Day? The members, did they have any special role?
Maybe in the earlier years, you know, before mm-hmm. our time, because it was St. Louis. I don't know. I never have heard that they played any particular part just because they were members of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Then what did you do as an individual for the St. Louis Day?
I was hot shot for a few, many years.
And what do you mean by that?
When I was hot shot, whenever they needed something anywhere on the grounds, I would try to get it, scrounge it like scavenger hunt. You find it, you get it, you get it, you bring it here. We need it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who it was, the bingo stand, anywhere, I would try to get it. If we run short of anything, I try to get it wherever I could get red and white shots at my place.
Mm-hmm.
We had the store those days.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did they have a dance on St. Louis Day?
Yes, they had dances until the last 4 or 5 years. I guess then they stopped it.
And when were the dances at night?
At night. And well, it created a problem with the dances at night that people would get home too late, and they just stopped having them.
Mm-hmm. What kind of drinks have been served as long as you can remember at St. Louis Day?
Well, beer, as long as I can remember. I don't know before what they had when Prohibition was here. I know one year we had slot machine behind every tree. You remember that?
No.
Oh, yes, we had slot machine behind every tree. And we had beer to float a battleship one year when beer was rationed during World War II. Nobody could buy beer, but Father Lenton found beer.
That sounds like
right,
it.
Right, right. We had beer. We wouldn't have no shortage of beer. In the bootleg days,
That's
where the people made done their business.
Mm-hmm.
Those days, you know, they sold a lot of bootleg. I'll never forget. Cars were parked all around these streets here. And this is an old story. And people wouldn't go home from the dances until 12, 1 o'clock. And these few cars scattered around here. And my daddy would sleep right by the window next door to us here. And he heard this guy mumbling. Did you ever hear the story?
No.
That people were so mean and dirty in Castorville, they steal anything. And daddy got up and went out to see if he could help the man. And he said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Well, I'll tell you, this dirtiest place I ever come to have fun." He says, "I'm sitting here in the back seat of my car. I'm sitting in my car and somebody stole my steering wheel." Daddy says, "You're sitting in the back seat." Oh, he said,
"Oh, that's priceless." Oh, do you, by any chance, know About how many places sold bootleg drinks during the Prohibition?
What did we have? 31 of them here in about 1931, 30, oh yeah, about 29 and 30. We had about 31, I counted one time.
That sold bootleg?
That sold bootleg beer and whiskey. It's like the man that was on the pole that Mr. Lawler had hired to put in the electric lights in 1921, I think it was, by the name of Red McGowan. Mm-hmm. He was up on the post right across from the church, and this stranger drove up and he said, "You know a man can get a beer in this town?" Red McGowan was always loaded. He's up on the post. He sees the steeple over there. There they don't have it. Every other house has got it, he said.
Were there many arrests because of the Prohibition?
No, I just remember one or two that I really remember. And neither one of them was a big one.
Well, why do you think that... okay, well, let me rephrase that. Well, did the revenue agents ever come to town?
Yes, but some was in advance. People knew about it, and there was nothing going on. They shut down and went fishing or something.
So, do you think that... I'll ask you, but I'll try to put this properly. Do you think they were tipped off by someone
right,
in advance?
Right, sure.
So, That probably was...
There's some old stories out about that, and you don't have to tell you because everybody's heard them, I imagine.
Uh-huh.
But the only one I remember that was really good, I don't know if a lot of people, there was one man bootlegging in the lower part of town, and Jude Holler was standing in the corner, and the revenue men came by and asked where he lived, and there was a street in back of Moy. Where the nuns are now, military school, where the Moore school is, there was a street that's closed. Now that was mud when it rained for 3 weeks. And he said, just take that street and run the revenue man that mud hole, and they run down to this guy's house and told him they're on the way, and he cleaned out.
He had the revenue man stuck in the mud. Oh, dear, that's funny.
That's so true.
I hate to get off of this bootlegging.
You could write a book about the one that they still the two men had up here across the Medina River. Everybody knows about that one. I imagine you've heard, too.
I think so. Go ahead.
No,
no, you don't want to.
No, okay. I know the man came to the barbershop and smoked $10 bills.
Oh, my word. You know, I've heard, I don't know it to be a fact, that a lot of people got wealthy, but very few held on to their money.
Yes, Now, like, they would, Monday morning they would go to their friends' bootlegging joint and they'd drink there again on nights, and they'd go to San Antonio and blow it. But I'm talking about that. On Monday morning, I worked in the store for Blackie Sherrod in those days. And we had no self-service those times. The counters were in a square all the way around, I guess about 20-foot square. And there you could see they were getting ready for the next week, a can of Blue Ribbon, a yeast cake, 5 pounds of sugar, and 15 cents with the caps, one order after another. And I was driving all morning delivering to all the places they'd ordered, but getting ready for the next weekend.
To brew some more?
To brew homebrew.
Homebrew.
My daddy made his own for his own use, and he made 90 bottles out of 5 gallon crock every week.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, how did that sit with the rest of the people here in Castroville? What was their feeling about the bootlegging?
Nobody cared anymore. about it. Nothing was said.
Nobody cared. Mm-hmm. Just do your own thing.
Right. And business would get bad. One would go around to the red, down the range, and down he'd open wide open and sell off.
Who was in town?
When business was bad, buying, he'd go around till all of them had a few, but one of the bootleggers would go around the rest down the range in town, and the other bootlegger would close up and he'd open wide open and sell out.
In other words, he'd lie about it. Right, he'd say the Rangers were in town. Oh boy, I tell you. What about 4th of July? Was that a big day to celebrate?
Not here, but in Honda. They had a football game in front of the courthouse. That was the football ground where the post office is now.
Yes.
Right there. That was the foot when I was a kid.
They played football on the 4th
right
of July.
Right on the 4th of July. That was a big day over there.
Is that right?
No, I'm taking back. That was Armistice.
Armistice.
That was the football field. Do you remember that?
No, no. I'm not saying I'm...
4th of July was what? I don't even know. Not much, because I worked when I was a kid 4th of July.
Oh, it wasn't a special holiday?
Not here for those people that were in the city, but out here, everything was open. Shots were open those days when I worked for them. Because I'll never forget when the Rankin boys drowned up here on the 4th of July, right on this side of the Flat Rock Crossing.
What was that?
All Rankin's boys. Two of them, they were on an outing up here on the river. Miss Rankin was Joe and August Schott's sister. Mm-hmm. And the two boys drowned in a whirlpool up there on the 4th of July.
Oh, how terrible.
I'll never forget that.
But the business places were.
Yes, I mean, the business places were open, as far as I remember.
Do you think that you said they did have something special at Honda on the 4th?
No. I was Armistice. Armistice, yes.
Okay. Let's see here. Let's stop this for a minute. We were talking about baseball games just a minute ago being a lot of recreation for you. Were there any, was there real rivalry between any clubs, baseball clubs?
The Indians and Honda. Mm-hmm. Well, that was the ones that Castro wanted to beat all the time, Highway 90, especially the Hennies. And in the earlier days, it was Lacoste.
Is that
right?
So, and how many months did they play? Did they have sort of like a tournament or something, or a season?
They had a season, but I think it quit Labor Day in September, first weekend, Sunday, that's when it ended. I don't know if they had a playoffs or not. I think they did, yes, I think they had a playoff. They had playoffs, right.
Would they have what was known maybe as a Highway 90 champion?
Right, Highway 90 champion, right, they did.
Yeah, I guess it got pretty exciting.
It did, it was fun to follow.
Okay, you've said that you were born and raised a Catholic, and... has your family always participated in all the the things in church, like the clubs, sororities, and things like that?
Well, the difference is, yes, society like St. Anne's and St. Louis Society and all of those things. I think so, yes.
Okay. What about Christmas preparation? Can you tell me how your family, what your family did to get ready for Christmas. I'm talking now when you were a child.
Oh, those days when I had to get the Christmas tree, the cedar tree, and those days they had candle holders out of tin for lights. You remember those?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I found a holder the other day.
Yes.
And while it was cooped up in another room, shout out, you can't go in there because Santa Claus is in there. And we just, the three of us, we didn't have much of a Christmas preparation, just Mom and Daddy and I, until we got married. I got married. And the family started, then it's a big day.
Yes. You were, and I suppose you didn't have as much Christmas preparation then as a family with more children.
No,
we were the only child.
Yes.
Okay. Did you go to Midnight Mass?
Yes.
Did you do this as long as you can remember, go to Midnight Mass?
We went to Midnight Mass for 40 years, never missed since we're married.
Is that right?
To the last few years, we haven't been going.
You said Santa Claus fixed the Christmas tree. When did you get your gifts?
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve.
Couldn't wait till the meeting, so we opened up 4 or 5 o'clock. Mom would let me in at 4 or 5 o'clock.
On Christmas Day, did you have any special meal or anything?
Well, yes. We can have turkey or something for the three of us. But that's,
you didn't have any other family participation from brothers or sisters of your parents or anything like that? Okay. You mentioned a while ago that there were no dances in Lent. What were the Lenten regulations as you remembered them when you were younger?
There was nothing. You just didn't go nowhere, but you went to develop a church. What were the Wednesdays and Friday nights during Lent and Advent? They had church services. Mm-hmm. You didn't go to movies. You didn't go nowhere during the penance during Lent 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
And for Christmas, from Thanksgiving on, there was the last dance until Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And in the earlier days, they didn't have a dance Christmas. They had it the day after Christmas, which was St. Stephen's Day. That was the big day.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Well, did you fast?
Yes, you had to fast.
And what did you have to give up? Any kind of food in particular?
Yes, meat on Fridays and Wednesdays. And if you want to do anything else on your own, well, you could give up something else or do something else.
Okay. When do you think this regulation about the fasting changed or became more lenient, or why do you think it did?
Why, I don't know, but I imagine about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. But you don't have any idea why? No.
No idea.
Okay, what was your participation in church during Holy Week?
I didn't have much to do in the Holy Week, not anything really.
You didn't. Mm-hmm. Could you tell me about the Good Friday services?
Yes, they used to be from 12 until 3 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And the later years to begin at 3 to 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
But the 12 to 3 was more, you had more out of it than from 3 to 4:30, an hour and a half. It just didn't know.
Tell me something about the church services on Good Friday. Were they different than the daily mass?
Oh, yes. Routine? Yes, it was very much different.
Did they ring the bells on Good Friday or go to Holy Communion?
No, the bells left to get the Easter eggs on Holy Thursday morning when they sang the Gloria the last time until Saturday when the red bells came home.
Is that what they told you?
That's what they told us when we were kids. The bells are going to leave now to get the Easter eggs.
Okay. Was Easter Sunday then a special day?
That was a special day, yes. Easter Sunday.
In what way?
In many ways. The ladies had to have new dresses and hats and new shoes. And the church service was beautiful. There was no church Saturday night like they have now. They had church.
What is it?